Man, that's pretty.
That was so good.
Man, that was good, wasn't it? I tell you what happened in the first service. She sang that song and just made me cry, and I got up here to preach and I couldn't preach. How many of y'all in the first service? Isn't that right, Craig? I couldn't preach. I just stand here, wasn't a carol. I just stood here and had a cry in front of everybody, you know, God and everybody. Sometimes good though, but there's a great message in that song, and she sang it so beautifully. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Now, how many of you enjoyed our speaker last Sunday? How many of you heard him? Pretty good, wasn't it? Last thing he said was he was looking for a lady. Sherry, you weren't here last Sunday, were you? He said he was looking for a lady. What was one of the requirements? Do you remember what one of the requirements was? Seemed like the main requirement was a tractor, wasn't it? You know, we got 6 calls this week. I'm kidding. We didn't. No, we didn't. We didn't really get. But hey, look, I was getting my oil changed, Tommy, at a filling station, one of these quick places this week, and I saw something cute. Had a sign up there that said, "Here's what it said." And I copied it down. Said, "Wanted, good woman. Must be able to clean, cook, sew, change oil, and rotate tires." Then down at the bottom it said, "Must have race car and trailer." In big letters. Then in little letters, Sergeant Major had this. It said, "Please send picture of race car and trailer." That's good, wasn't it? Titus chapter 2, we read today, just 4 verses, beginning in verse 11 of Titus 2. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all the wickedness and to purify for himself a people of his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you." Today I want to speak to you on a very familiar word. You've been hearing this word ever since you started church. And it's a word that I don't think a lot of Baptists, I don't think maybe a lot of folks here today don't really understand the word. But the word is grace. Now I'm going to give you an example. I'll give you a test here. I'm going to, as an example of what I mean, I'm going to give you a start a phrase, and you complete the phrase when I say it. I'm looking at you now. God's listening. So I'm going to start it, and you complete the sentence. All right? If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Normally it is. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no gain without pain. God helps those who... Let me tell you the problem with these statements. And by the way, this is the way I was raised down there in Mississippi. Was that where I was raised, Steve? That in life, the American way is to earn what you get. Work for what you get. Pay for what you get. That's the way I was raised. That's the way Soroba raised her little boys and girls over there in that school for many years. That's the way every one of us here was taught. You get what you earn. But there's a problem. There's a disconnect. And that is in the area until you come down to salvation. And I want to tell you that grace is not connected to your paycheck or your performance. Did you hear what I said? Grace is not connected. It is not dependent on how you perform or your paycheck. And here's, I want to tell you that that the problem with salvation is we think God relates to us on the basis of our performance. But it's not our performance, is it? It's God's marvelous grace. It's not my merit. It's not what I merit. It's God's mercy. It's not my goodness. It is God's grace. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. What is a good definition? By the way, we have a sister church out here. The name of it is the Grace Place. By the way, did you know every church I know of in this county is a grace place? We're all grace places. By the way, the Southern Baptist National Anthem is what? Amazing grace. It is amazing. What is grace? Let me give you a definition. One of them is an acrostic. I use a five-word acrostic. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Somebody said grace is the face that God puts on when he looks at my faults and my failures and my flaws in my life. That's what God does. Grace digs is anything I need that God provides. I believe that's what grace is. Now, in Titus, Paul says three things about grace. I'm going to get them down in your heart. In your head, get them down in your heart. Three things in this passage, Casey, he says grace does. Number one, he says, for the grace of God, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Here's the first thing, Dorothy. Grace saves us from the penalty of sin. Grace does that. God brings us salvation. It's not the goodness in me. It's not what I earn, what I pay for, what I have done, what I can buy. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what grace is. Now let me give you an example. If I go to Joe Paul's bank down there, Robin, if I borrow money, they might send me if I'm late on my payment, they'll send me a statement, won't they? Say, you got a probationary, you've got a grace period. And they give me some time and they say, well, you got 30 days, that's a grace period. And then if I don't pay them the next time, and I've done this with Verizon sometimes, I forget to pay them a phone bill. And they say, you know, that happened to me one time. But they say, you got a grace period. But I tell you what happened, if I don't pay that bill pretty soon, if I miss again, they'll send me a statement and I'll be paying a late fee with it, won't I, James? Brother James, a late fee with it. But I want to tell you, so really it wasn't a grace period, was it? Wasn't a grace, that's probation, what that was. Wasn't a grace period. Because grace is totally unmerited. Total grace is unconditional. If you get grace, that's unconditional. And that's what God did in Christ. What he did for you and me. Now I want to tell you, say like this. Some people spell salvation, you spell it three ways. You can spell it D-O, do. They say, how is it that you become a Christian? Well, you got to do something. You got to join a church. You got to get baptized. You got to live good, do good things, be charitable. It's things you do. Some people, that's their theology. It's what you do. And then another way people say salvation is, it's don't. It's what you don't do. I don't. It just, that's how I'm going to get to heaven, because I don't do something. I never killed anybody. I never robbed anybody. I've never raped. I've never done anything like that. So it's what you don't do. Some people, it's what you do. Some, it's what you don't do. But the way God spells salvation, you know how he spells it? He spells it D-O-N-E. Done. It was done at Calvary. It is all of grace. And the Bible says here, Tommy, in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bring salvation to all men. God brought it to us. Now, I'll tell you why that's important that people understand it, Dave. It's important because there are people that sit in these pews every week. They think you got to wiggle and squirm, and they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to do right, trying to get there, trying to deserve it. And they don't realize what grace is. It's kind of like an old boy that said he rode a ferry to work every day. And one day he was late for, any of y'all ever ridden a ferry? They have a lot of them up north where they don't have bridges, up in New York and a lot of places. I've ridden a few ferries up that way. But anyway, this old boy was late for work. And as he came over the hill, he saw the ferry was already about 10 or 12 feet, Alan, from the bank. But he said, I'm a fast runner. I know I got to make this meeting. I know I can make it. And he ran down the hill as fast as he could go. And he got Michael to the edge of that pier, and he gathered all the strength he had with all of his might. He leaped as far as he could, and to his amazement, he almost jumped over the ferry. He landed on his face all the way on the other side. Cut his lip, skinned his arms. He tore his shirt, ripped his pants, but he made it. He was so proud of himself. He was pumped up. He was excited. He jumped up, went over to the captain of the ferry boat. He said, "Sir, can you believe what I just did?" The captain looked at him kind of funny. He said, "Sir, we wasn't going out. We was coming in." You know, and there's a lot of people, they'll get there if they don't, you know, they jumping and trying, but that is not the way. That is not the biblical way. It is grace. Grace is the only way you're going to get there. It's only, and the Bible says over in Acts chapter 15 and verse 11, it says, "We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we've been saved just as they are." That's the only way you get there. You can't figure it out. It is a pure grace of God. And I mean, probation, no grace period, no fine print in the contract. The moment you receive the Lord, repent of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives to us the gift of salvation. And the Bible says here in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation." You'll never do enough good to get in. You'll never earn it. It is a pure grace of God. And the Bible says here, teaches that the grace of God saves us from the penalty of sin. That's a wonderful thing. I want to just say that that not only does Acts say it, but I played the game Monopoly. Anybody else, anybody like that game? First time we ever got it. Probably was one of my first Christmases. We got a Monopoly game. And the thing I like to, of course, I love to play it. And I'm a pretty fierce competitor. Whatever I do, I like to win. And I wanted to bankrupt my sisters, you know, when they're playing. I wanted to bankrupt them, man. I wanted to beg for mercy. But I tell you the one thing, doctor, that I loved to get in a Monopoly game, and that was I loved to draw one of those get out of jail free cards. That's a good one. And I tell you, that is, Rick, I believe, a good example really of what the grace of God is. It is a go to heaven free card. That's what it is. The grace of God. The grace of God. It means so much to all of us. And I want to say the second thing is that the grace of God strengthens us against the power of sin. Verse 12 says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present world. Now, the Bible says this grace teaches us. I believe that once you come to Christ, that we get enrolled into school. We have this school here on Sunday night, First Baptist FBC Life University. And I believe, Dr. Joe, when somebody comes to Christ, the Bible says when God deposits that grace, that we also, He begins to teach us. And the Bible says here some things that He teaches us in Grace University. One of them, I think, one lesson we learn, maybe the first thing we learn is that God loves us just like we are. God loves you. But number two, Mike, is God loves you so much, He's not going to leave us like we are. And the Bible says that grace teaches us. Now, I had a friend of mine who was in another denomination, Ashley, and I won't tell you what denomination was, but he thought one of those that you could get there by working for it. And he told me, he said, "You Baptists teach a dangerous thing." He said, "Why, if I taught that and preached that in my church, people would think they could live like they want to. Just live any kind of way they want to." Well, I told him that was baloney. The Bible don't teach that. The Bible teaches that the grace of God, when it reaches you, it'll make you live like you ought to. It'll make you want to. Makes you want to live like you ought to. Now, I'm not saying any of us are above sin. We all have that potential, don't we? We saw one of our great national heroes this past week. And that's the only thing been in the news. We've all been disappointed. We're saddened by it, heartbroken by it. We all have that potential. David, a great national leader. And I appreciate one of our deacons sent me just as a reminder. He said, "David, a man after God's own heart, He saw a woman by the name of Bathsheba, the Bathsheba complex. And we all had that potential. But I can tell you one thing, Tommy, since I was a little 11-year-old boy and the grace of God reached me, it made me want to do right and live right and talk right and act right, think right. Makes me want to wake up every day and say, God, I want to do what you want me to do today. I want to bring honor to your name. And brother, if you don't feel that, then maybe you need the grace of God. Amen? Amen. You need the grace of God. Now, if I was God, I'd make it a lot harder than it is. I'd put a lot of requirements on people. You know, I'd make them say, we talked about stewardship this past week. I think if you've been with me these 3 years, I think 2 sermons I have devoted to stewardship. Now, you've never heard me nag about money and what people ought to give. I never have done that. I won't do that. I preach the Bible. But I want to tell you something. And if I was God, I would be tough on people. I'd crack a whip sometimes. And maybe God does anyway. You know he does, don't he? He probably does anyway. We can't see it, don't recognize it sometimes. But I'd take a whip to them, you know. If I was God, I'd do what I used to do to my kids. I'd whip them sometimes. But I want to tell you, and when we sin, he does that. I believe that. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. But I'm going to tell you, this is about grace. And the Bible teaches, first of all, in verse 11, that grace saves us from the penalty of sin. Number 2, grace strengthens us against the power of sin. Against the power of sin. Agent Rogers said this. He said, if your religion don't change your life, you ought to change your religion. If religion don't change the way you live, maybe you ought to change your religion. Last point I want to make is this. Here's number 3. Grace one day will separate us from sin's presence. First time he came, he took sin away from me. But one day he's coming, he's going to take me away from sin. And that's what it's talking about here. It says in verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope, Heather, what he's talking about, he said, one day I'm going to take you back, take you home to heaven. That's what he's talking about. When I was in my 40s and 50s, I didn't think much about my mortality, about dying. But now I'm in my 60s. I was with Joe Thornton yesterday, one of our football coaches. Buck called me about 10 o'clock. And he said, Joe's daddy's visiting with him. His daddy's a football coach from up at Vernon, Alabama. They played G.W. Long Friday night, won a football game, second round of the playoffs, wasn't supposed to win it. Daddy's a football coach. And they won the game the night before. He came out here off Salem Road, staying with Joe Thornton, his son, one of our coaches, football coach, a member of our church, using an 8:15 service on Sunday, and said, Daddy, he had a heart attack. Joe worked with his daddy 15 minutes before the ambulance came, and they couldn't revive, never didn't bring him back. And when I got to the hospital, he's already gone. I've never seen a grown man, hug and kiss another man like he hugged his daddy, kissed his daddy. And his beautiful mother was there, 45 years, married 45 years. And she's with, oh, precious baby, don't leave me. But he's already gone to heaven. I told Joe, I said, it's a beautiful, what a wonderful thing. Wasn't yesterday a beautiful day? What a day to go to heaven. Now, I want to tell you, I hadn't done what my mother's done. Last time I was with my mother 6 weeks ago, she said, my bags are packed. My bags are packed. She recently went to the funeral home and told the undertaker, the mortician said, this is what I want. This is what I want. And guess who she wants to do the funeral? Correct. I probably can't do it, but she said, I want you to do it. My mama's ready. You know, I hadn't done that. I hadn't told Celia. I don't know. Steve, you may do my funeral. I don't know who'll do it. Maybe, Dave, you've been knowing me a long time. You could do it. Don't really matter a whole lot. But I tell you one thing. I'm going to a place that Amanda just sang about. It's going to be wonderful. I tell you what kind of place it's going to be. Al Miller would go out of business in heaven. Because there won't be any locks on the doors in heaven, will it? It won't be any jails up there. Won't be a police, an army. Won't be any policemen. Won't be a court system. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more tears. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And I tell you, you're going for one reason. You can only go for, you can only get there one way. That's to be under the grace of God. Your goodness, your righteousness. The Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. You'll never get it. It's all about grace. All about grace. I love that song. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, freely bestowed on all who believe. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Sing with me. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. You believe that? Amen. Close one thing. A fellow by the name of Peter Drucker, smart guy, businessman, writer, written a lot of books on leadership management. Peter Drucker, big name, Rick, across the United States. Rick Warren, who was the pastor of Saddleback Church, asked him, he said, how it was he became a Christian. Here's what he said, Roger. He said, I became a Christian when I realized what grace really is. And I knew that you just couldn't get a better deal than that. It's a good reason, isn't it? There ain't no better deal than that. And by the way, it's all free of charge. But let me tell you, it's not cheap, is it? It's not cheap. Grace is free, but it is not cheap. It costs the Son of God. It costs the Lord. It costs God His precious Son. I'd ask you today, if you're not under that grace, would you say, God, forgive my sin. I repent of my sin. You know, the Bible says He gives us, He'll help us to say no to in this world. Not like we want to live, but He'll help us to live. He'll make us to live, help us to live like we ought to live. He'll help us to say no to this world. To say no to what's wrong, say yes to what's right. That's what grace does. Give you the power to do it. This morning, some of you need to say yes to Christ right now. We're going to sing a hymn. I believe there are a lot of people, maybe somebody say yes to Christ in private, but you've never done it publicly. You've never trusted the Lord Jesus, made your confession of faith. I had two great experiences this week with two little ones that gave their heart to Christ. Maybe some others here need to come today, make their profession of faith. And then there are people that ought to become part of this church. I'm so grateful for every one of you. It's sad at this time of year, Dr. Jones, I think about Von Seum. As I think about Bud Hickman back there. As I think about 24 people, Tommy, that we buried out of this church this year. We need others to come behind them and say, I'll pick up the flag. That's what to do, Mike. In the battle, somebody else will pick up the flag and say, I'll take the colors on. We've had many who've gone to heaven, but I believe God has sent us new people, new families, new people.